Part of the way I like to preach or talk is to talk about real things that happen in my life, real things that have happened and I can learn from, basically bring it down to my level, because I know I'm not the smartest guy in the room, and I just want to, you know, talk about things that people can understand. And lately, over the past 14, 15, 16 months or so, I don't know the math on it, we've been working on a house, remodeling a house, fixing it up, making changes, cleaning things up. A little background on it, we bought this house in June of last year, and we bought it from basically a lady that was a little bit of a hoarder, and there was a lot of messes. I mean, a lot of messes. The past, I think it's about 42 years old. I'm not sure that any maintenance has ever been done on the house. Cabinets were hanging off the wall. Doors and trim were chewed up by dogs. There were soffits, like lowered ceiling soffits in the kitchen. You probably know what I'm talking about. And I took those down. And as I was taking down one part of it, it was inches thick of skeletons. There were just skeletons all inside of that. And then below that, in a wall that we took out, probably deeper than my knee, the wall was full of skeletons. So, and it was not human skeletons, obviously. But it was like, you know, mice and squirrels and I don't know what all type. But it was literally a bunch of skeletons. I mean, siding was rotting off the house. There were animals in the attic I had to set traps for. I mean, it was just, there were leaves on that property older than me. You know, it was really bad. There were a lot of weeds. There were a lot of trees in the back part, trees and weeds that were just really grown up. And it's kind of we looked at it, it's a dream home for us, or we're going to try to turn it into a dream home for us. And there were a lot of problems, and we knew about some of them going into it, and some of them we didn't. I mean, the weeds, though, is where I'm going with this. The back couple acres, I rented a bush hog, and for like 3 days just went to town and just drove all over it, cut everything down. And the neighbor came over one day and said, "Man, you are crazy." He said, "I think that's the first time that's been cut since 1982. And he said, "Nobody's ever been back here cutting this." And it was a mess with overgrowth and weeds and flower beds full of leaves and weeds and dead trees. It was a tremendous undertaking. I've had family over helping pull weeds and rake leaves and blow leaves. And so some of the people sitting in this audience know what that's like. They've been over and helped us do that. So the whole time I'm doing this, I have this visual in my head of what I want things to look like, what I want things to be. I want, you know, a garden and weeds gone and things looking nice in the flower beds and stuff. And I know I could really jump into Matthew chapter 13 with this and go into the parables there. But I want to kind of approach this a different way. But I do want to approach it that weeds in this life, because that's kind of where I went when I was thinking about all this and spending time doing that. How weeds overgrow, they take over, they control, they suck the life out of the good things, and they're just a nuisance. Weeds are. And I want us this morning to think of weeds as sin, as something that can overcome you and overwhelm you and control you and take over who you really are. But I want us to think about the landscape out there. The landscape is us. We are the landscape, our heart, our mind, our thought processes, how we live. We are the landscape. We are God's landscape. And sometimes we let those weeds get in there. Sometimes we let weeds get in. Sometimes we allow them to control us and to overwhelm us. I think we have some cleaning up to do. I don't care who you are. None of you in this audience are perfect. I can almost guarantee it. None of you are perfect. And we all have some things that we can look inside of ourselves and we can clean up. We need to do some weeding in our own lives. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 10 says, "To create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create within me a new heart. A clean heart. Make it new. That's what I want us to think about this morning. Cleaning up and making things new, renewing ourselves, giving ourselves over to God. Because I think what the Lord is telling us is that we, as His people, as individuals, as Christians, we are the most beautiful landscape. We truly are the most beautiful acreage on planet Earth. He set it up that way. He made it this way. That we are His and we are beautiful. And depending on how we live our life, how we approach life, and what we do in this life, we are either going to be plentiful in weeds of selfishness, because I think that's what sin is made up of. It's made up, and we talked about it in class this morning. Sin's made up of selfishness. We're looking out for ourselves. We want things. We desire things. And then we allow the selfishness to really take over. So we can either be plentiful in weeds of selfishness, or we can be plentiful in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It depends on how we want to live our life. It depends on how we want to give ourselves over to God, or if we want to give ourselves over to Satan. Because Satan's out there, and he's more than willing to take control of us. He's more than willing to throw up as many weeds, as many sins as he possibly can to distract us and to overwhelm us so that they will overcome us. So I think there are some things that we need to do. Number one, the first thing that I think we need to do is that we really need to work on ourselves. We need to work on following God and keeping within that and staying within God and maintaining a clean heart. And cleaning ourselves up, like the scripture said in Psalm 51. John 14, verse 21 says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." We already talked about a little bit this morning how God desires that relationship with us. Well, right here is another scripture that says our Father loves us and wants to disclose himself to us. That's his desire. In Psalm chapter 119 and verse 113, it says, "Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me." If the scripture says, let no iniquity get dominion over me, then that tells us that it is a true possibility that it can. That it can dominate us. That the world and things of this world, if we allow it, they can dominate us. And the pleading here is to not let that happen. To don't let ourselves be controlled by this world. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, "And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Some of us will get settled with who we are. We'll get settled in something comfortable. And maybe we even think that we're not good enough. Maybe we think we're not good enough to be God's children. Maybe we're not really paying close attention when we get settled in this life and we're just not allowing God in. We're not allowing God to have that relationship. And we tell ourselves we don't really care about the weeds of this world, the sin of this world. And then we become dominated, like the scripture says, and sin will overwhelm us and it'll control us. Before you know it, when this is taking place in our lives, before you know it, you're consumed by it. You're consumed by everything that has nothing to do with God. And you don't care about God's people. You don't care about God's word. So we need to and have to keep working on that. Keep working on ourselves inside to follow God. The second thing I want us to do this morning is we must let the Lord be our guide. We need to let Him be in control. Let Him be in the driver's seat and direct us. Isaiah 58 verse 11 says, "And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." That's my desire, is to be like a watered garden. We need to be like a watered garden. Building ourselves to be plentiful in God's word and His blessings. allowing him to control, allowing him to lead and desire that, we know that we are unable to save ourselves. We know that the Lord has to and will provide a way of escape for us. One thing that we don't like is sometimes getting out of the world or getting out of sin, it gets a little uncomfortable to pull ourselves out of that. It gets a little difficult and painful to get out of that, because now we have to face the fact that others are going to know my sin, or I'm going to ask somebody to help me and they're going to know my sin, and other people are going to want to pray for me as well and help me. That gets difficult at times, and that's scary for us to leave the worldly life and come to God. It tends to, when you've been caught up in sin for that long, when you allow sin to overwhelm you, it's kind of like calluses on your hands. It's just, it's hard for something good to even affect you, because you're so calloused over by what the world is. You've allowed so long for the world to control you that when somebody comes to you seeking you and trying to help you find and escape from the world, it's hard to get out of that. It's hard to dig our way out. One thing that we can do is to meditate. Meditation on God's Word, putting ourselves in God's Word, listening to it and allowing it just to soak in. 1 John chapter 1 verses 9 and 10 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. We need to be talking to God. We need to be presenting ourselves to God, because He will guide us out of that way which is inside the world and living like the world. Isaiah 41 verse 13 says, "For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you." The Lord is willing to grab us and pull us out of that. He's willing to take our hand and lead us and direct us. But are we willing to allow that to happen? We sometimes think that we can do it all on our own. We can find our way out, or when the time is right, I'll stop doing those things. And we fail. We need to listen to Scripture. "For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Letting the Lord help us. We need to remember, putting this lesson together made me think of, and we need to remember the words of the song, "Hold to God's Unchanging Hand." I know you probably all know the song. The lyrics say, "Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whosoever or whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling." We need to be clinging to God, reaching out to Him, and allowing Him to drag us from Satan and what Satan has done to us. The sin of this world is like weeds. We've talked about and how it will entangle us and how it will take out the good that's been planted. Those sins will stop growth if we allow it. Maybe we're pursuing God and we're heading in a good direction, but if we, even for the slightest moment, allow it, it will stop our growth. The world will. Satan will. The sin that can encompass us will stop it, and it will weaken us to the point of death. Because God provides that way for us to live for eternity. Well, sin is leading to death. So what happens if we don't pay attention to the garden? What happens if we don't pay attention to the flower beds or to our yard? If we don't cut them, if we don't weed them? Same thing happens to our hearts. If we don't pay attention to our hearts, if we don't keep ourselves involved in the right things, the same thing is going to happen, and the weeds are going to control us. The third thing that we can do is pay attention. We need to pay attention and be aware of and always be on guard and always being ready. If you want to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to hit a few scriptures here. 1 Timothy chapter 4 is always is kind of talking about never letting your guard down. It's talking about being absorbed in God's Word. Verse 1 says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." Have you ever really thought about sin being doctrine of demons? Giving yourselves over to doctrines of demons instead of God's Word and God's doctrines? Deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. That's what will control us if we're not careful. Verse 6, starting there, says, "In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." Verse 8 says, "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise to the present life and also for the life to come." Discipline. Disciplining ourselves in God's Word makes us stronger. And it makes us able to get out from under the sin of this world. In verse 9 it said, is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance, "For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." Verse 15, "Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all." Verse 16, "Pay close attention to yourselves and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourselves and for those who hear you." Paying close attention to, laboring in God's Word, being absorbed and absorbing God and what He has to offer, never letting our guard down, is 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paying close attention. There are several obvious things that we can take from this lesson. We need to understand that there is an enemy out there. There's an enemy out there that hates us. He has no desire to have a relationship for us like God does. God's desire is for us to be with Him in heaven. That's why He provided a way of escape. Satan only plants seeds of sin. And we need to be aware of that. Not everyone, we need to understand that not everyone in this world is going to go to heaven. Because not everyone will clear out the weeds that are in their lives. They won't allow God in. They won't allow the relationship that God desires to be their own desires. And thirdly, God is the only way to salvation. He provides it. He wants you to have it. And He has set it up so that it is possible. James 1:21, in closing, says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness, put away all rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls." I hope you can see from this lesson how easy it is, because it is truly easy for us to get caught up in the world. It's easy for us to get caught up in selfishness and only have desires for ourselves rather than the same desire that God has for us, and that is heaven, salvation. And this morning, if there's something that we can do to help you with that, to pray with you, because prayer goes a long way. If there's something that we can do to help you with that, make it known. If you need to have your sins washed away, make it known. But do everything that you can to get the weeds of sin away from you. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come now as we stand and as we sing.
Are you sowing the seed?